to the Man Up Podcast.
I'm Winston Wolf. I solve problems.
A spiritual oasis for men. We're not pastors, just regular guys.
Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
So, for the uncommon man, created by equally uncommon men, this is Man Up.
And welcome, everybody. This is Man Up, Spiritual Oasis for Men podcast, podcast number 181, hard to believe. And this is the No Church Answers Tour, and we're glad you're here. And where is here? Here is Sugar Land, Texas. So grab a globe, spin it around, bang! Find Texas, southeast side of Texas is Houston, southwest side of Houston is Sugar Land. Still in that COVID quarantine, we are in undisclosed locations around Sugar Land. We're not pastors, we're just regular guys, each of us on our own spiritual journey. And we feel, though, that all men are leaders, you know, leaders of your family, leaders at work, leaders in your church and community. But sometimes the lead dog needs to be fed and spiritually recharged. And that's why we're here. So whether you found us on Facebook, SoundCloud, where we archive all of our podcasts, Apple Podcasts, our website, which is at www.man-upspiritualoasis.com or pray.com, we're glad you're joining us. Before we get started, just want to let you know what is coming up. We had a video shoot, and so in a few weeks, we're going to be releasing that, so you'll get a chance to see what match our faces with our voices. But also, I just want to put a special thanks out to the panel, and especially our producer, Steve Titch. Yeah. As many of you know, I've had some medical issues, and the guys have all really stepped up, but also producer Steve Titch has really stepped up, not only produced, but hosted on occasion. And I can't tell you how appreciative I am of that. And I hope that you out there have a support group like I have with the fellows here at Man Up. So we are in the Connect 360. We do many different publications. This is a Baptist Way Press Connect 360. It's called Living in the Spirit. And we are in our 11th lesson. And so what I want to do is I want to, at this time, go around the room and introduce our panel that we have here. I just want to start off with a world-class policy writer and a bit of a professional gambler. It's our producer, Mr. Steve Titch.
Yay, Steve.
Thanks for the shout out, Bill. I'm learning from the best here, so it's no trouble to fill in.
Whoa, that's good. Totally appreciated. And he's an attorney and also a prosecutor, so he could defend you or throw the book at you. We call him the judge, Michael Cropper.
Thank you.
Hi, Mike.
Thank you.
There I am. And we have a world-class corporate trainer and kind of the group theologian. We call him the professor, Robert Koshchew. Hey, Robert.
Hey, good to have you, Robert.
And my name is Bill Cox, and I'm basically work as a contractor, but basically a salesman, and I am a writer, director kind of guy. So, and without any further ado, want to go ahead and get a brief overview of this particular lesson from the panel and start out with the producer, Steve Titch.
We're going to have fun in this one because this is one of the places in the Bible, certainly, maybe the most direct place, where we're told not to get drunk on wine. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5, some verses there. But I don't even think the verse stops there. It doesn't. It says, do not get drunk with wine. It goes on to say, instead, get filled with the Holy Spirit. And not only that, sing, dance, and generally celebrate one another's company and praise God. This is great because everybody has their favorite hymns, songs, worship styles. I'm looking forward to talking about that. I'm looking forward to talking about what the author calls intoxication in the Holy Spirit.
Michael Cropper.
Yes, yes, Bill. I'm reading along with Steve there as he's telling it. He's absolutely right. The scriptures we cover today do tell you how to be happy and do things in the Holy Spirit. And then I see at the end there, I know this is not our lesson, but it goes back to one we covered. Wives, submit yours to your own husbands. As in the Lord. Okay, guys.
Podcast 140, please go check us out there.
Well, I was wondering because it did say be intoxicated with the Spirit, not with the wine. And I'm thinking, why submit to your husband? Anyway, enough of that. Let's go real quick. Yeah, this is a great set of scriptures again. The context for it, folks, Ephesians 5. As you know, if you've been reading along with us, or if you've been reading or listening to us, you know that Paul gives directions back and forth. He goes positive, he goes negative. Last week, we looked at how we might grieve the Holy Spirit, and Paul packed a lot of do's and don'ts in those sentences, and he does throughout Ephesians. If any of you are familiar with the book of Ephesians, I called last week's scriptures the man obsession or the man up lesson, because as Christian men, we are watched very carefully to see if we break any of the rules we are not supposed to do, or we fail to do any of the rules we are supposed to do, such as praying or reading the Bible. Now, with the many rules Paul tells the Ephesians to follow, he interjects some strong commands with some suggestions on how to please God. For instance, in this set of scriptures, Ephesians 5, he starts out by telling us to be imitators of God and walk in love as Christ loved us and died for us. And then he changes direction. He turns the ping pong ball the other way. He says, don't even think about fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, uncleanness, but rather give thanks. Again, give thanks for the good things God has given you. Paul even addresses the company we are to keep. He says in verse 7, he tells Ephesians to refrain from socializing with idolaters, fornicators, and other persons who he has named previously in the other verses. He says, because they can deceive you. This is very practical advice, folks, who you hang out with. And we tell our kids this, by the way, too, as we're raising our children. Those people who you hang out with, if they're not the best of company, can deceive you with empty words. And they will suffer the wrath of God because they're sons of disobedience. That's verse 6. Paul again uses opposites to direct the Ephesians, and he states that once you were darkness, but now you are light. Therefore, walk as children of light. Before he addresses today's text, which Steve has covered, Paul again instructs the Ephesians to walk circumspectly. That's wisely, with caution, prudently, discreetly. But not as fools, but be wise. And that's pretty harsh language, folks. And again, a previous verse to what Steve referred to is verse 16 in redeeming the time. And Robert talked, and I talked a little bit about using our time before the podcast. I had called him on some questions. Anyway, let's go to today's command from Paul. And we will pass it over, I guess, to Robert this time, right?
Yeah, professor.
So two things in this particular lesson are really interesting. The first one, Steve alluded to already, and we will definitely talk about that, about what does it mean to be intoxicated or filled with the Holy Spirit in the sense of celebration? It's going to be a great, I like that idea. And especially I like the fact we're going to talk a little bit about the hymns, hymns and songs. Is the exact phrase we're going to use. And so that's going to be fun. The other thing I want to talk about a little bit is this is the verse that kind of sets up what John Maxwell calls in his 21 Laws of Leadership, the law of priority. And these particular group of verses set that up for leaders. And that means for men, by the way, has a way to evaluate things and look at what you're doing in your life as you move on. Now, earlier, I do want to mention very, very quickly, you heard me kind of throw in when Mike talked about the earlier podcast, we talked about where women submit to your husbands. We did that. That was podcast 140. And Dr. Sandy Templeton came. We actually had a woman come and be on the Man Up podcast. It was kind of funny. But believe it or not, it was an even match because it took five of us to make up for one of her as we went through the discussion. But I would tell everybody, if you haven't listened to that podcast by us, go listen to it. It is a great discussion
that is
very, very relevant for today's time. So I encourage anybody to go listen back to that discussion.
That I'm going to go ahead and read the scripture, and then we'll get into the deep discussion. This Ephesians 5:15-20. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Can I mention the message right there, Bill? Is that okay if I read that?
That was the New International Version.
Okay, if one of you have it, I don't have to read it. If one of you else has it open, that's fine. If not, I'll just mention it real quick. It says, don't drink too much wine. That's obvious what the scripture you read says, Bill. But it says that cheapens your life. Drink the Spirit of God. Now, it does make a comment here. Huge droughts, D-R-A-U-G-H-T. Drink in huge droughts of him. Sing hymns instead of drinking songs, which I thought was very comical. Sing songs from your heart to Christ and sing praises over everything. Any excuse for a song to God the Father in the name of our Master Jesus Christ. Okay. Thank you.
Very cool. Very cool. Because this section, the translation varies across a number of editions. The New American Standard Bible, which our Connect 360 uses, says, do not get drunk on wine, for that is dissipation, as opposed to debauchery. We read an earlier verse where the chapter 15, verse 15, NIV makes a point of saying, live carefully, be careful how you live. Going back to the King James Version, it says walk circumspectively, right. Or other translations have walk carefully, which, of course, it's somewhat metaphorical, but you could certainly understand that in the first century when you shared the roads with various animals, horses, donkeys, other animals people used to travel on or pick wagons. This, you know, Bill, you were on a farm. I'm sure walking right. carefully speaks well to you. But oddly enough, the one line that kind of is common across all translations is do not get drunk.
Well, and okay, so one of our apps that I like to recommend to people is Bible Gateway. Kyle uses another one. I think he uses the Bible app. But I like it because you can jump translations. And I just like checking this translation. The Message is one of my favorites, and I love what it has. But every now and then I find it very fun to go look at the Orthodox Jewish Bible. Just because it's totally different, and it gives you some intriguing. And in verse 18, this verse we're talking about, it actually says in the Orthodox Jewish Bible, and do not become a shikker with schnapps, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh is basically the Holy Spirit. But I love that shikker with schnapps. I was like, oh, that's pretty good. As you look at it. So let me jump for a little bit, because I want to have some time to talk about the celebration. Go ahead, Bill.
I do think that implication here is don't be full of yourself. Be real. Be real in your faith. And that will come out of you naturally, as opposed with people that are intoxicated. Oftentimes you find out if someone is full of rage and they hide it well. When they get intoxicated, they can't keep it in anymore. Or they come out and sometimes you see the real them. And that's kind of what I think that Paul's getting at in this. I mean, don't fully yourself as if someone who is has too much wine, but be real in your faith.
That's a very real interpretation, Bill. I struggled over it because, as you guys know, if you look at the, and I talked to Robert at this earlier, I kept reading in the scripture, it says, do not be intoxicated or drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. But I kept seeing the word intoxicated. And I looked to the left, the name of our lesson is being intoxicated by the Spirit. And that's where I got that, Robert. I kept thinking, that's not a great metaphor. I don't know how you look at it.
Well, it's cool that though Peterson in the message says, instead of being filled with the Holy Spirit, drink the Holy Spirit in large droughts.
I know. Well,
and droughts. You see those big mugs they have on Oktoberfest.
I know.
That's a really good comparison because so when Mike called me, he's sitting there talking and I'm like, hang on. I got to go dig some stuff. So I went and digged. I'm a nerd. I've got the big, huge, there is something called a complete concordance where basically you can look up every English word, cross-reference it to its Greek word or Hebrew word if you're in the Old Testament, and then go look at the definitions. And the intoxication word that the New American Standard used literally means to get drunk, be wasted, be full of drink. Okay.
Yeah.
The Greek word for the word that gets translated filled in the New American Standard is kind of an overfilling, like Steve said. Think of the huge beer steins, or as Peterson said, the huge drought of it. And so I think that's interesting. Now, the other word, what sent me down the Greek path earlier today, is because our author mentioned the word kairos, which is a unfulfilled time. And so that's what got me to the priorities piece that I was looking at and looking at the law of priorities. And it literally put out there where, if you look at it this way, verse 15 is telling us to analyze our lifestyle. So go look at what we do, what we're doing and how we do it. Verse 16 is utilize the present. So be ready for the present and what's going on with the present and what's there. And then verse 17 is telling us to prioritize what is important to us for the future. And so I think that's a great lesson when we look at it as men and as leaders, to that we should always look at our lifestyle, prioritize what's important in the moment, and then prioritize what we need to for the future. And I think that's going to be a great discussion. I can't talk right after our break.
You're listening to the Man Up Spiritual Oasis for Men podcast. It's brought to you by Man Up Media. I'm Pastor Chris Buescher, and hey, I know these guys. Their podcast is gritty, authentic, and unexpectedly funny. You can find them on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Facebook under Man Up, and all other podcasts are archived on SoundCloud and now even on Pray.com app. They're not pastors, but they're very reliable, regular guys, and that's why their No Church Answers tour movement is growing so fast. So for the uncommon man by equally uncommon men, contact Man Up at www.man-upspiritualoasis.com. And now back to the podcast and fellows of Man Up.
And welcome back. This is Man Up, Spiritual Oasis for Men, podcast number 181. And intoxicated by the Spirit, and continue on with that discussion and go back to our producer, Mr. Steve Titch.
Well, this whole idea of do not get drunk on wine, certainly, or it would include other substances as well, and instead being filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not supposed to be dour. We're a saved people, and Paul is just driving this home here, and he drives it home in a lot of his letters. We should gather in fellowship. We should sing. We should dance. And he's not the only Bible author who talks about the importance of singing and dancing. We have 150 Psalms, King David's playlist right there. And we have going way back in the Old Testament, we have instances of dancing, singing, right up through the time of Jesus. And celebration is really important.
As I recall, David got yelled at by one of his wives because he was out celebrating.
Yeah.
Well, she didn't have any children either.
but since Robert brought up Maxwell, his go-to author, I'm going back to Richard Foster,
he's one of mine too.
In Celebration of Discipline, celebration is a discipline. It's his last discipline, and Foster says that's the whole reason we do the other disciplines. Just like a sports team or an athlete works at disciplining their sport, working out every day, throwing the football through the tire, getting everything nailed down. And then when they win the championship, it's a celebration. And that's the payoff. And for Christians, the payoff is feeling closer to God and closeness to God should be celebrated. So, and I don't know exactly what happened. Obviously, I'm going to kick it back to Bill because he's had an interesting faith journey. He's gone from Mennonite to Methodist, which are kind of more of the quiet practicing Christians. Of course, I was in the Presbyterian church for a while, and they called us, as when we were Presbyterians, the Frozen Chosen. The Babylon Bee had a headline once. Motion centers lights turn off during Presbyterian service, and so. But on the other hand, you have the Episcopalian services that
would happen.
I know that Bill's been in some charismatic services where it's just the opposite. And of course, I love gospel music. That is so celebratory as well. So,
you're absolutely correct. In my time when I was a DJ, I just enjoy music and loud music as well, and loud worship music is awesome as well. But it's kind of funny. I think it's based on limits that people put on themselves. For example, the Mennonites, no electricity, no cars, and wearing black pants with white shirts. That's pretty much the standards of practicing Mennonites, except for the fact that my grandfather, who was the Mennonite, he had electricity, he drove a car, and he wore plaid. And so he was considered pretty wild for his day, and pushed the boundaries, whereas nobody nowadays thinks much of that. But it still didn't dampen his enthusiasm and his commitment to Christ and to Christianity. So, and I think it's based on what limits people put on themselves for that kind of thing.
I think Steve made great comments about singing, and were you through, Bill? I apologize. Bill?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, Steve was giving some great examples of how you celebrate the Lord and everything. And so my take from what Steve said and what I've always believed, you don't always walk into church happy on Sunday mornings. You don't always feel good about celebrating. What you do is do the practice. And Robert, you said as well, you practice doing what you know to do, and that's praising God. You sing, you greet other Christians in a warm, kind manner. You don't always feel like saying, I feel great. But if you believe in the Lord and you trust the Lord and you're glad to be alive another day, you say, hey, I am great. It is good to see you. And you practice things which does uplift your spirit and lifts theirs as well. What gets me happy and joyful, and that's when I am I share how grateful I am for the mercy that God gave to me. And I think Paul refers that to And that's you're happy because the Lord came into your life one way or another and directed you. And now we have we have redemption. We have the Holy Spirit guiding us. I have guys like you to talk about and celebrate the Bible with. So when I share God touched me and changed my life, which is to me is on the similar level that Steve was saying and Robert said, you practice these things. And I want to add that you don't necessarily feel like doing it, but you do it and the joy will come afterward. The celebration will come after these things if you keep doing them.
Excellent. Professor.
So discipline is all about doing things the way you're supposed to do it. Now, I've seen my children did band, and they were in what was affectionately referred to as a show band. And I'm not talking UIL, whatever that is they do at UIL during football season nonsense.
For those of you, that UIL is pretty much the organization in Texas that governs all high school competition and everything.
And there are people, they basically do concert music on a football field and put some kind of choreography to it that whatever. Our band was in the style of Southern University, Grambling State University. So the historically black colleges and universities, that's what we did. The high stepping, dancing, moving, you know, and I would tell our kids hated concert season. And I would tell them, you have to do concert season because you can't do the show and play bad music. Concert season is what gets you to the point where you can play good music so you can go do the show. And because they all love marching season, you know, it was fun for them to do that. Athletes, like Steve said, are the same way. You know, I can tell you what's killing my youngest son the most this year. He's part of the staff with the Green Bay Packers, but he's on the low end and it's COVID and all the good stuff. He's not at any game except home games. And that's really the only time he's actually with the team because of all the COVID restrictions that have been put on. That's not what he signed up for when he decided to move to Green Bay, you know? And so he's kind of missing that celebration, but he's doing the discipline. That's part of it. Part of our Christian life is that discipline in the same way. Now I'm going to talk about psalms, hymns, and songs. And because Steve said he wanted to talk about this. So I will kick us off on this. I have worshiped and felt God's presence with an organ playing How Great Thou Art. My wife is under explicit instructions to have that played at my funeral. I love Rich Mullins' song Creed, where it's basically the Nicene and Apostles' Creed. I can only imagine. By mercy me. However, I can get down with Petra and Grave Robber and Not of This World and get ready for it. But I can even do Striper with a little bit of Yellow and Black Attack and feel really good. Striper was a heavy metal rock band in the mid to late 80s. So my worship experience from music goes the gamut. And I think we're called to worship in those ways. And I think that this might be a fun discussion for us to talk about the music a little bit as we go through.
We have a great jazz band at Sugarland Baptist. And in part that is, and that is what I almost miss the most because it is large enough that they cannot play on stage during service yet. And our own pastor of education actually has a trombone seat in that band, Davey Gibson. I love being in church on the Sundays where they play because yet you haven't heard Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, which is set to Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, the fourth movement. You haven't heard Beethoven until you've heard Beethoven in Big Four Dixieland. And but they are just great. And I love they bring jazz because, you know, the kids who sit in the pew in front of me really start moving. They're having a good time. I'm kind of demming around. And I also love gospel music too. That can be very, very rousing. In fact, you know, you want to talk about funerals. I do want a jazz funeral. I want everybody to walk out to when the saints go marching in, because you know that's how it really should be.
Yeah, I like, believe it or not, I like country and western. And I was listening to a
Michael Cropper.
Yeah, I was listening to country and western, a statement regarding a program that was honoring Brooks and Dunn. And I've heard a lot of the country and western singers, Vince Gill. I've heard Alabama. I've heard them talk, and of course Larry Gatlin, the others. They may sing country music, but their hearts, they state very clearly sometimes that they love the Lord. Country western is their occupation, what they love to play and do. But many of them are just strong, strong Christians. Of course, the Oak Ridge Boys were gospel back when I was a disc jockey. And then they went over to country and western for a while. So yes, Robert, it's possible to see Lord in some of the songs that don't necessarily are not gospel, if the people present lives dedicated to each other, for husbands loving their wives, wives loving their husbands. I do love gospel music, though, because I was also a gospel disc jockey. And I agree with you, Steve. It's the message is so profound, and some of the music is the greatest in the world. I don't think any of the other religions or the music of the other religions can touch many of our gospel hymns.
This is Man Up, Spiritual Oasis for Men podcast. We will be right back.
You are listening to the Man Up, Spiritual Oasis for Men podcast. Originating out of Sugar Land, Houston, Texas, USA, it's the faith-based man podcast that women enjoy too. Called authentic, timely, and unexpectedly funny, Man Up has been encouraging and entertaining audiences since 2016 and continues to be one of the fastest-growing shows in its segment. Want to book a speaker, show, or post a comment? Go to Man Up on Facebook or our website, www.man-upspiritualoasis.com. And now back to the No Church Answers Tour and the Fellows of Man Up.
Welcome back, everybody. Podcast number 181. Just wanted to continue on with the discussion, Intoxicated by the Spirit. We're in Ephesians, and that's where our verses came from. The scripture, it was 5:15-20. Talking about songs of faith and how it affects, and go back to Michael Cropper, what you were talking about, the influence of Christian music in country and western.
Yes, I was saying many of the, I've heard there's a program, I don't have the link to send to you guys now, but later I'll send you a link. There's a there's a number of programs where the country and western singers get together and they sing hymns, and it's fantastic. I saw, like I said, Larry Gatlin and a number of other singers. Of course, Carrie Underwood does a fabulous version of How Great Thou Art, which Robert mentioned earlier. But yes, that brings tears to my eyes. Because when we hear this music, and Steve, when we hear just even old hymns that my mother used to love, when I first heard them, when I first came to the Lord and chose to follow the Lord, however you guys want to say it, I was 20 years old. And at that time, I thought and prior to that also, I thought these hymns, boy, they're boring. But you know what? Boy, do we change as we get older. And like I said, it is no secret. There were a number of songs that my mother loved, and now they bring tears to my eyes. So I think a lot of that is learning and experience serving God. The Holy Spirit does minister to us, and He will bring gratitude to our hearts. He'll bring praises to our hearts when we hear the music. And even as Steve said, you can go in and hear the jazz band play some music and just say, this is phenomenal. It makes you almost want to get up and dance in the church. I don't think we would be appreciated for that, though, Steve.
I like the kids doing it. There's the kids doing it, which is fun to watch. And we have a, you know, Our pastor says he loves to see the kids running through the church. And you know, to see that there's back when we, because I generally, when I'm in church, I'm generally up in the balcony kind of center, so I can look down, and off in the corner near, you know, just to the right of the stage, probably out of most of the eye line of the performers or the pastor, a family comes in, and they're in for the first part of the service because the kids leave about a third of the way through. But through those first hymns, there's a little girl down there who just dances her heart out to whatever they're doing.
I've seen her. Yes. Well, and that comes to a good point. So I pull a quote. It's a Bonhoeffer quote. I'm sorry. but he says, the fact that we do not speak it but sing it only expresses the fact that our spoken words are inadequate to express what we want to say, that the burden of our song goes far beyond all human words. Yet we do not hum a melody. We sing words of praise to God, words of thanksgiving, confession, and prayer. Thus, the music is completely the servant of the word. It elucidates the word and its mystery. And I was like, I read that when I was looking through this. This is from his book, Life Together. And I was like, that was just cool. When I read it, because I was like, that so expresses what worship should be when we're thinking about worship and song. And it's not a style of music. It's not what type of music it is. Although I'm going to confess, I saw our former pastor, Phil Lineberger, when the jazz band was playing, he was tapping his toes. Every time. And I'm kind of like Steve. I like the jazz band. And in COVID, I've been on one or two feeds. So our church, I will help everybody. Bill always says we're traditional Baptist. Not really. Our church is probably my favorite church as far as music goes. And the reason is this: we do a very, very good blend. It is not uncommon for us to do a contemporary song that was written by Mercy Me or Rich Mullins or the guy that wrote, can't think of the name of him. His name, Michael W. Smith is one, another one. We've done a lot of his music, and followed by a traditional hymn. And then we'll go do a traditional hymn that's been rearranged, like Steve said, you know, the you know, joyful, joyful, we adore thee to a Dixieland jazz band type setting. So we don't have a traditional music sense or a contemporary music sense. We really blend it together. And I really find that I like that because, like Mike, you know, I find solace in those old hymns now. That kind of like Mike, I used to kind of laugh, oh God, we're going to sing that one again.
Boring, yeah.
You know, but now I'm finding solace in it as I get older. And I think as we approach corporate worship nowadays, one thing that I have a huge problem with that a lot of churches do that our church does not do, except for very young children, is that there are churches, they have their children's church and the kids aren't in this service at all. And they have their youth church and the youth aren't in the service. And then they have their adult service where all the adults are. And some churches even split that up and they have a quote unquote traditional service and then a contemporary service. And I think there's something to Foster talks a lot about corporate worship as one of the disciplines being. And I think there's a lot to corporate worship when the church is together, and that includes children. I mean, we let our children go out part of the way through the sermon because our pastor is going to talk above their heads. So they go get his sermon basically broke down to their level where they can learn it.
Yeah.
Our young adults, our teenagers, our older adults, I think there's something to all ages being in one service for worship. I just do. And I think that's something that we do well as a church. And that's something that I think more churches should do, is worship together as a group and be together.
What's funny is that nothing touches off more discussion, heated, and you probably know this because you've been on some church committees, than music. To your point, the way our church works, and it's big enough and it has the talent enough, and a lot of times it's because I've been in small churches where really it's a pianist and who can handle an organ and a small choir. You can like the music, and if you don't like the hymn they're doing right now, just, you know, wait a few minutes, like a subway train, one you like will come along. And so,
but getting back to the premise of this particular podcast, Intoxicated by the Spirit, yes, I agree with the music element, and I think it's, I mean, for me in particular, because I'm on the tech team, it tells me, it gets me in the mood, it gets me in a receptive of the religious moment. It blocks out the rest of the week for me, and it makes me think that, you know, I'm in for a religious experience now, and that's kind of what the music does for me. I'm thinking about the Intoxicated by the Spirit, though, and that supports the those, and we for Thanksgiving provided a little over 1,000 meals, not only the Thanksgiving, the provisions, but also for meals for later on. And they do about 375 a day of people down there. But because of COVID restrictions, we've had to get things that we typically don't do, instead of plates, to-go boxes, things that are sealed, like utensils, plasticware, that's sealed. That and everything is one serving, like one serving sugar, one serving salt, and thing. And because of my infirmities, and I appreciate the fellas stepping up for me, I've been able to drive the truck, but I haven't been able to do much more than that. And getting help from my wife and my son and my daughter. And you would expect people to think that it is a big hassle, and it has been a big hassle, but nobody complained. And so that got me to thinking about intoxication of the spirit, and the fact that when we got there and we were unloading everything, there wasn't the complaints of being out of the ordinary, and it was real joy in helping these people that are less fortunate. And it just made me think that like when you see people that are intoxicated, the real them comes out, and it's almost as if my truck was overloaded with provisions, but we didn't get stopped. It didn't rain on us. It was almost as if it was divine, and there was joy in them receiving it and us doing it. And I think that's part of being intoxicated in the spirit.
The cup runneth over.
That's the idea.
You know, it's difficult to do this all the time. When we read these scriptures, guys, when we read these lessons, and it says be filled with the spirit, you think you're thinking, and the way I get this is we're supposed to do this every moment of the day. We can't. You cannot do it. If you work and have a job, a normal job, you cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit and talking and singing psalms, everything out loud. If you're talking to other people on the telephone, your clients, Robert or Steve, whoever. So all this has to be put in practical perspective. And that's simply, I guess, when you have the time to do it, when you visit with other people, fellow Christians and whoever, you have to put in perspective. So once again, that's one of the subjects that I've wanted to bring up, is that simply from the way we read this, they indicate that you're supposed to do these things all the time. And folks, you cannot. You cannot be joyous, happy, sing praises. At least most of us can't. If we're in a type of job where we communicate with people, we go in front of crowds. Robert teaches. Bill, you have to meet with people in your construction work and everything. And Steve, of course, you have to write notices or papers and whatever for the jobs.
Mike, you don't go out and sing your summations.
There you go.
I hate to see that.
Well, I really would. You know, we don't go out and sing
with
this.
A hat, with that little straw hat.
That's right, Steve. That's good.
I really would.
Excellent. And with that, we're going to go ahead and bring this podcast to a close and get some quick takeaways from the panel and start with our producer, Mr. Steve Titch.
Yes, well, very briefly, I think certainly you can't be, you know, celebrating all the time. It's just you just don't have the emotions for that. But there's room in the faith for celebrations, good feeling, happiness, laughing. We are a saved people. We should certainly act like it. Sometimes it's not that taking your religion seriously means you've got to be dour and serious all the time. Jesus joked. Jesus was ironic. The modern Jewish humor that we are so familiar with, that American comedy certainly is steeped in, it's all in the Old Testament. It's all the most, the last shall be first, the first shall be last, the odd man out, the shepherd boy, 11th in line, becomes the king. There is a lot of humor in the Bible that has kind of lost over the ages, and going back to it, it's very much discoverable. Robert does a youth study on humor in the Bible, and certainly if you remember the first century context for many of Jesus's parables, there is certainly humor and a wink of the eye behind them, and while all the while giving us a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is a fun place. The kingdom of God is a fun place. It's going to be a grand place. There's no harm in celebration here. No harm in partying, as long as it's, kept with the Lord in mind.
Takeaway from you, Michael Cropper.
Yeah, Bill. I want to make sure I'm on. After we've talked about sharing with the Holy Spirit, there are indications that a person is filled with the Spirit. You may not be able to sing praises and psalms to everybody or talk and quote scriptures during your job, but you can focus on the Holy Spirit. And as Steve, I think, mentioned, you can keep your mind, or maybe Robert mentioned, you can keep your mind filled with praising God whenever you don't have to do your regular work. Now, what we see from other people and what we can see from our fellow Christians when we're working or when we meet with other people is their reflection of the Holy Spirit. That's simply the fruits of the Spirit will be an indicator of the person who's serving the Lord, or the gifts of the Spirit teaching right now, as in sharing as we're doing. Those indicate a life being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what this whole book about, and that's what this lesson is about that we're talking about now. So I want to remind you folks, if you're negative, if you feel negative, you had a bad day, you had a something go wrong that you didn't expect, a way you can lift yourself out of that. You may be at home, or you may be thinking, what am I going to do? Turn your face toward the Lord. Turn your thoughts toward God, whether it's singing as the guys have spoken or thinking of music that you like. Think how grateful you are that God has given you your life, has saved you, has given you redemption. Focus on the things he's done. He's touched you. He's changed your life. And eventually, if you do that long enough, it will bring the joy and the celebration we're talking about. And no, we're not talking about being intoxicated with the Spirit. We're talking about celebrating, as Steve mentioned before and Robert mentioned before. We're talking about feeling the joy and the presence of God with us in the Holy Spirit.
Professor.
So thank you guys for teeing me up so awesomely. So Steve is right. Great humor in the Bible. It is, as everyone is probably aware, the season of Advent. Last Sunday, if you're listening to this podcast, when it's released on December 1st, we will be in Advent season. Sunday, November 29th will be the start of Advent. Advent is the traditional start of the Christmas season. And if you really want to kick your Advent off right, go read Matthew chapter 1. And I'm going to read two very small excerpts from it. And if you've been with us for any length of time, you will catch both of them. So Matthew chapter 1 is basically the genealogy of Jesus. And it goes through and so and so and so and so and so and so. And then Solomon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Now, if anybody knows who Rahab is the prostitute who hid the spies of Israel. A great author, a friend of mine passed several years ago, Dr. Douglas Adams, taught at Pacific School of Religion, wrote a book called The Prostitute and the Family Tree. That is just fantastic. And then if you keep going down, and then you get Aunt Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. And we all know her very affectionately as the woman who was good to look at while she was bathing on the roof of the palace called Bathsheba. So if you want to just go read through it and kind of really look at the names a little bit. That's one of the setups I do when I do my youth class, because I just love to do that. The second thing is, we talked about hymns, and I am just going to read the first stanza, and I will not sing, because for good Lord's sake, the verse, "Make a joyful noise," was written very specifically for me. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel. That is really what we're waiting for, is Emmanuel. And then lastly, I was doing a little research on Advent, and I ran across this. I had never seen this before, and it's another Bonhoeffer quote, but I think it fits for this year. The celebration of Advent is possible only to those who are troubled in soul, who know themselves to be poor and imperfect, and who look forward to something greater to come. And if that is not the case for this year, 2020, to celebrate the season of Christ's birth, and as John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and made himself his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Christmas and Advent is preparing the way for Christmas, for us to celebrate the coming of God into the world to redeem mankind. And I just want to encourage all of our listeners, take time during these 4 weeks to reflect on that and understand that there are better days ahead, no matter how bad your 2020 may have been. There are greater things and better days ahead for us. So enjoy the season of Advent as we come in. I'll find little fun things all throughout. I love Christmas. I'm going to go pick Christmas decorations up and deck the house out Thursday and Friday, since I'm in the middle of a 14-day quarantine because somebody tested positive in my circle. So I am going to have a lot of fun getting to decorate and doing some stuff. Thank you, Bill.
Thanks so much for tuning in. This is Man Up, Spiritual Oasis for Men. On behalf of our producer, Mr. Steve Titch, Michael Cropper, Robert Koshy, my name is Bill Cox, and we're on this No Church Answers tour. So whether you found us on Facebook, SoundCloud, where we archive all of our podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or pray.com, if you have a question or comment, you can go to our Facebook page, which is at man-up, or www.man-upspiritualoasis.com, our website, and post it there. And if you're still in quarantine and unable to attend a church, check out Sugar Land Baptist Church streaming service. It's a traditional Baptist service on slbc.org and starts Sundays at 9:45. And when the quarantine is over, we encourage each and every one of you to join a local Bible-based church. And why local? So you'll go. Go and participate and find a small group, ABF, Adult Bible Fellowship, or Sunday school class that you can join for discussions like this. And find that one that is men only. And if there isn't one, start one. This is Man Up.
You've been listening to Man Up.
You've got answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Dedicated to the uncommon man, created by equally uncommon men.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
You can contact us on Facebook under Man-Up. Post questions, and we'll answer them right here on the Man Up Podcast.